XI AM 91, Seattle.
The time now, 10 o'clock.
CBS News. France and the United States may be ready to announce a compromise agreement on oil policy. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. On the island of Martinique, President Ford and French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing met Saturday night for dinner prior to the start of their formal summit talks. Giscard spoke about acting in concert to solve common problems, and U.S. officials with the presidential party hinted at compromise. The U.S. has been trying to get France to join a bloc of oil-consuming nations to deal with Arab oil-producing states. In remarks at a formal dinner, President Ford stressed the importance of cooperation on energy policy.
At stake is the stability of every economy, the welfare of every nation. Unilateral measures, Mr. President, can no longer suffice in solving problems of such universal dimension. Mr. President, you recently described the situation very vividly when you said the world is unhappy. Indeed, the world is troubled. But if we are to transcend our difficulties and successfully meet our challenges, we, France and the United States, must cooperate.
President Ford will begin his talks with Giscard Sunday morning. Top federal officials are meeting this weekend at Camp David, Maryland, trying to agree on new energy policies for the Ford administration. New programs are to be presented to Congress in mid-January. Among the options being discussed are quotas on oil imports and limits on the amount of oil Americans can use. More news in a moment.
Most appetizers you eat, but there's one appetizer you drink. Dubonnet.
Before that's the time to think about some Dubonnet to drink. Before a meal by day or night, it helps to whet your appetite. Before you have a pour, it's the time before for Dubonnet.
Think of Dubonnet as an appetizer. It's the wine you drink before meals, before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It helps to whet your appetite. Whether you serve it straight, on the rocks, with a twist, or soda. Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course.
Before, yeah, before. Time before for Dubonnet.
Product of USA. Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
In Beirut, the Arab Guerrilla News Agency says the Palestine Liberation Organization claims responsibility for Saturday's attack inside Israel. The Israelis report one of their policemen was killed, another wounded, and four guerrillas died in an exchange of fire. In Paris, several hundred intellectuals headed by 19 Nobel Prize winners published a letter Saturday saying they will not cooperate with UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. The group says it is boycotting UNESCO for its refusal to admit Israel to any of its regional groups. In a speech Saturday night to United Jewish Appeal fundraisers in New York, former Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir strongly criticized the UN for recently allowing PLO leader Yasser Arafat to speak to the General Assembly.
The United Nations isolated itself from everything that is decent and moral in human life. They have voted. The world has lived to see this international organization of over 130 independent sovereign states bow and crouch before a butcher of innocent children.
Mrs. Meir also said that Israel will never negotiate with Arafat or his Palestine Liberation Organization. More news after this word.
If you happen to live in one of the towns or areas which don't enjoy the brand name selection and economy of having a True Value hardware store nearby, you probably get awfully tired of hearing me say, "Hi, Pat Summerall here with another great value from True Value hardware stores." And that's understandable, because all the great values in the world won't do any good if you can't get to them. Well, do something about it. Next time you visit the local hardware, home center, or home and auto supply dealer, ask if he's ever considered joining the True Value Group. Tell him to drop me a note. Pat Summerall, CBS Radio, P.O. Box 50. That's CBS Radio, P.O. Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, for details. If your local dealer qualifies, he'll be able to start offering the kind of savings on brand-name products which only a member of the nation's largest and fastest-growing hardware chain can offer. Get the point? If a True Value hardware sign goes up in your town, you'll both be glad you had the idea.
The nation's coal miners are working under their new contract, but the labor problems in that industry are not over. About 4,400 mine construction workers are still on strike. Their picketing has kept miners idle in West Virginia and Western Pennsylvania. Union officials now say that more than 30,000 miners will stay off the job on Monday unless a new contract for the mine construction workers is agreed upon. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS in Seattle, KIXI. The weather forecast for Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, and vicinity, mostly cloudy, occasional rain likely through Sunday through Monday. Lows near 40 and highs near 50. Mostly southerly winds, 10 to 20 miles per hour, except higher gusts late tomorrow. 45 degrees at the Lake Union Building, the wind is south, 10 miles per hour. 42 degrees at SeaTac, relative humidity, 79%. Sea level barometric pressure, 30.23, and falling. Stay tuned now for Mystery Theater next.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. And perhaps you've come to look upon me as the master of the macabre, your escort into the eerie. And in all honesty, I can say that I am happy you have this opinion of me. I'll admit to an affinity for tales of the supernatural, and even a sneaking fondness for ghosts. Some ghosts, that is. I cannot say that I have liked every ghost I have met, because in my experience, there can be some very unpleasant ghosts, like this one.
At this moment in time, Jason, I'm a very friendly ghost, with warm feelings toward you. Because you're going to do me a favor, Jason. You are going to kill my wife. Did you hear me, Jason? I said you were going to kill Claire.
I heard you, and I say you're a murderer.
I'm not a murderer. You will kill her, Jason, because this is just a sample of what can happen to you when my feelings become unfriendly.
Our mystery drama, Voices of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars Mandel Kramer and Ralph Bell. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you feel like having a cold Budweiser, do you automatically reach for a glass? Well, sure, Bud's a great beer any way you drink it. But without a glass, you're really missing something. Now take that wonderful Budweiser Head of Foam, for instance. Those bubbles, tiny though they are, still amount to something pretty special at the top of your glass. Taste appeal and eye appeal. Two results of exclusive beechwood aging and natural carbonation. It takes a lot longer to brew Budweiser that way. But brewing beer right does make a difference that you can taste. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've really said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? the Metaphysical Spiro News.
Oh, Irene, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? It's, oh my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Many stories about faceless voices that speak to lonely people. Voices that come from nowhere, that threaten, cajole, terrify, or madden the mortals who hear them. Our story is about such a voice, but it is a voice that has a face, the face of a dead man. Most of us know what to expect when we turn on a television set. But the last thing Jason Phillips expected was to have the face of a dead man appear on his television tube.
How did the face of Peter Truro get on my TV screen? Peter, I'm sure if you were alive, you'd understand why yours is the last face I'd want to look at. So forgive me for switching stations. What is this, Peter again? I'll try another channel. On every channel? Peter Truro? That's ridiculous. And no sound. What's wrong with the sound?
Nothing, Jason.
What?
This isn't the normal way to return.
Well, I'm seeing things. And hearing them. Peter Truro is dead and buried. He couldn't be talking to me from my TV screen. Everything happened so suddenly with Peter and Claire and that lousy Lindilla. Put the TV back on.
Relax, Jason. I'm not a delusion. I realize that my talking to you this way must be quite a shock, but you're really seeing and talking with Peter Truro.
Oh, sure. Sure. Peter Truro, who's been dead and cremated for 10 days.
The body, yes, Jason, but nothing else. Now, just as soon as we complete our business, you'll be rid of me, and you'll be happy.
You keep talking about business. What kind of business can we have?
You're going to do a little job for me, Jason. You're going to kill my wife. There's absolutely no point in your turning off the television, Jason.
You're a fraud, Peter. I don't know how you got into my set, but you're a fraud.
Oh, come on now. You're not going to claim that you're still upset because, after all, I am a ghost?
Well, of course. It's a perfectly natural occurrence, isn't it? Everyone who watches television sooner or later finds himself face to face and talking with a ghost every time he turns on his set.
Well, what you're really telling me is that you're afraid I'm not a ghost at all, but a figment of your imagination.
And you find that strange. You don't think that that's enough to upset me?
Of course it is, Jason. Like Hamlet, you're wondering about your brain.
Yes, I am.
Well, I can take that worry off your shoulders.
Oh.
Suppose Claire comes to see you.
Claire? What would she want?
An attack of conscience. Guilt. Whatever you may want to call it. But, Jason, I will make Claire visit you. And then we will talk again.
What in the world am I doing here anyway? Can you tell me, Jason?
Putting on a marvelous act as usual, Claire.
Why do I feel cold? Why do I have this feeling that Peter's watching?
Which question would you like me to answer?
Do you believe in ghosts?
Of course not.
Well, you sound so sure. So very.
And you're not. I remember how you used to make fun of the whole spiritual scene.
I said it was impossible.
Claire, why this discussion? What made you phone me and come here to talk about...
I've been having dreams.
Dreams? Well, I know psychiatrists.
Yes, dreams about Peter. He keeps telling me to come to you and explain about Well, you know, how you lost the part in the play, and I'm not making very much sense, am I?
No, you're not. I don't know why you came here, but I know damn well you'd better leave.
Are you convinced, Jason? Do you believe now that I am a ghost? Well, you heard Claire. You know I sent her to you.
So she says.
I don't know whether it was smart to throw her out so abruptly. She may become suspicious.
About what?
About your wanting to kill her.
You're out of your mind. You're crazy.
Remember how you felt when Claire told you that she was replacing you in the part that I had picked for you in Cries of Dissent? Remember how you raged because you knew that Claire was throwing you out, not because of your lack of ability, but because she wanted the part for her lover, Edward Linville. You even threatened to kill her.
I don't have to listen to any more of this. Right now, I could cheerfully have murdered you if you'd been alive. Hello.
Jason, this is Claire. Darling, I do think you owe me some sort of explanation for almost throwing me out of your place a while ago.
Claire, my love, the only thing I owe you is a punch in the mouth, and if you were a man, I'd be happy to give it to you.
Are you going to be with us long, Mr. Phillips?
Well, that depends.
You'll find all sports and great weather at the Clarkstown Inn. You will be in 4:45. If there's anything you want, don't hesitate to ask.
Now, before I call Alida, I think I'd better see if Peter is still with me.
Here I am, Jason. You didn't think you could run away from me, did you?
I wasn't sure, but I was hoping.
I'm curious about one thing. Why did you pick this godforsaken little town as a place of refuge?
Because I happen to have been born right here in Clarkstown.
Ah. Then this is an attempt to recapture the safety of your childhood. That's very touching, Jason.
I've had enough of you tonight, Peter. Time for me to do what I came here for in the first place. Talk to an old friend.
Hello?
After all these years.
And it is a pleasure to hear yours, Jason.
Oh, Alida, you're too much. After all these years, you hear me say your name and immediately you know my voice.
It is a distinctive voice, Jason. Are you calling from New York?
No, I'm at the inn right here in Clarkstown. Matter of fact, I came here just to see you.
How nice. But, Jason, there's been a lot of years since we last spoke. And right now, it's almost past my bedtime. How about breakfast with me tomorrow? More coffee, Jason.
No, thanks, Alida. Alida, I'm being haunted. I think I'm going crazy. I don't know where to turn or what to do. That's why I came to see you. Do you think you can help me?
If you'll calm down, maybe.
Well, you just don't know what it's like.
And I can't find out unless you tell me. Do you know this ghost?
Of course. It's the famous Broadway producer, Peter Truro.
I read about his death. It was only a short time ago.
That's right. And he's been after me for the past 2 weeks.
How does this haunting manifest itself?
Through television. Mm-hmm. Every time I turn on a TV set, it's Peter's face that appears. I can't get any other programs, just Peter Truro.
What does he say to you?
Well, that's what's got me scared. He's asking me to kill his wife. It frightened you, Alida. Why?
Well, Jason, as I remember you, when you were a boy, you were not particularly psychic or even sympathetic to psychic phenomena.
That's right.
In order to help you, I must find out why the ghost of Peter Truro chose you as his instrument in the first place.
Can you?
I can try. But not this morning. Can you come back tonight for another seance, like the one you remembered as a boy?
That's why I came. I'll be here, Alida.
I can't promise anything will come out of this. I can't even promise to make contact. But if I do, you will have to keep absolutely quiet. Understand?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right. Now, hold my hands. Tighter. That's it. The light. The light is too bright. It hurts my eyes.
see you quite clearly.
Jason, why did you do this? Just when we two were getting along so well, you went and brought this stranger in.
Well, Peter, I...
Jason, you must keep quiet. You promised.
Let him talk for himself. We have some wonderful chats when we're alone.
Jason is a friend of mine. He has asked my help. Why did you choose him to torment?
It is I who am in torment. You must know that. It is I who cannot rest until a vow has been kept.
What vow?
The marriage vow.
Has it not been kept? Did you not plight love till death do us part?
No. Our vow was to remain faithful and loving forever. We changed the marriage ceremony, and the vow has not been kept. And I seek revenge. I will have revenge. I will.
Alita, are you all right?
Yes. Yes. I will be fine. Just give me a moment.
You sure you're going to be all right?
Yes, I am sure about me. But I am worried about you, Jason. I am not sure about you.
Ghosts are very much like UFOs. People say they don't exist. But somehow the idea of ghosts and UFOs just won't go away.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off, the sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door. Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing. Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
The question of whether ghosts can have anything to do with dreams is one that has occupied the thoughts of psychics since people first began to talk about ghosts. Jason Phillips was haunted by a ghost, not in his dreams, but one who took over his TV set. Jason is seeking help, not from an analyst, but from an old and respected medium whom he had known since childhood.
All right, Alita. I don't mean to start a discussion. All I want to know is, how do I get rid of the ghost of Peter Truro?
I wish I could tell you.
You mean I can't get any help? I'll have to spend the rest of my life listening to Peter insisting that I kill Claire for him?
You can turn off your television, can't you?
Oh, great. I'll never look at a TV set again. Is that your solution?
How deeply was Peter devoted to his wife?
What kind of question is that?
A very important question.
Well, there was a jealousy act that Peter was putting on.
What made you think it was, as you put it, an act?
Because nobody could have been that jealous.
What about the relationship? Was it a good one?
I don't know. I never stopped to think about it. There was the difference in age. I mean, Peter was some 18 years older than Claire, and he was Broadway's outstanding producer, and she was an actress.
Are you trying to say that Claire married Truro to advance her career? That she didn't love him?
Well, there was no question that Truro worshipped Claire, that he'd do anything for her. She liked Peter, but... well, I think the feeling was deeper on his side than hers.
And how did you feel about Claire?
Alida, I don't see the point of all this.
Ghosts do not choose people to haunt unless by design. In order even to begin to help you, we must try to find out why Peter Truro chose you as an instrument for his vengeance. How do you feel about Claire?
Well, I'm certainly not fond of her. After all, she was responsible for my losing the part in Cries of Descent.
You wanted to kill her.
Don't be ridiculous. You sound just like Peter.
You won't admit it to yourself. But you're secretly delighted with the idea of punishing Claire Truro. And there is no way you can get rid of Peter Truro until you do.
Welcome home, Jason. So nice to be back with you.
Cut it, Peter.
I liked your friend Alida.
Oh, I'm glad.
Well, now that your investigation has proved that I'm really a ghost and not something your imagination cooked up, we can get down to specifics about killing Claire.
Now, let's get this straight. I evidently can't stop you from appearing on my TV screen, but I am not going to kill anyone, not even Claire.
I'll show you how you can get away with it.
I'm not interested.
What can you lose by sitting down and picking up a piece of paper and a pen?
I don't know.
Admit you're curious.
All right, I'm curious.
Oh, come on. Jason, you know we both burn for revenge. You because Claire fired you from Cries of Descent to replace you with her lover, Edward Linville.
Who is awful. Have you seen him?
Oh, I don't have to. I know he's terrible. But he's playing the part. And he's sleeping with my wife, so, get the paper and pen, eh?
All right.
Now write the following. My darling, this should not come as a surprise, since we talked about your unfaithfulness.
Now, wait a minute, Peter.
There's not much more. Unfaithfulness many times. And you know that I said I would kill you. My dearest, prepare to die. And sign it, Peter. What do you think she'll say when she finds that in her desk drawer?
Well, I think she'll laugh because she'll know it's an obvious forgery.
Well, take another look, Jason. And then tell me if you recognize the writing.
What? How did you do it? This is your handwriting.
Please, please, Edward, don't make me look again.
Darling, you must. This thing has gone too far for you to give in to it now. Please open the drawer.
What if I find another of those horrible notes?
You won't find any more. I've had the only key to the drawer in my pocket for the past 2 days.
Oh, can't we just let it go for now?
Open the drawer. Now, here's the key, darling. What was it?
Another note? Another one?
Well, that's impossible. Let me see.
No, don't. It's impossible, you said. Impossible. All right, Edward, read what it says. Read it. Tell me it's impossible. I think we should go to the police.
And tell them what? That you're getting notes from a dead man?
Well, haven't you been telling me all along that that was impossible?
Of course I have.
That we could go to the police.
And tell him that some vicious practical joker is blackmailing me.
He hasn't asked for anything.
Oh, he's building up to it. I know he's building up to it.
Who is he? That's the big question. Who is doing this and how?
I'll swear that the notes are in Peter's handwriting. And any handwriting expert will swear to the same thing.
Then maybe we should ask the police to begin looking for a master forger.
I thought you said we shouldn't go to the police.
I have an idea. Now, it may be crazy, and well, I don't know whether or not it'll help, but it's an idea.
I'll do anything, anything to stop this nonsense.
Well, maybe we should find a spiritualist and have a consultation.
Who is it?
Ed Linville.
Well, if I say I'm surprised, I'm sure you'll understand.
Completely. I'm sure that you'll understand that I wouldn't be here in your apartment unless I thought it was very important.
Granted.
I'm here because I can't help feeling there's some connection between you and some crazy notes Claire's been getting.
Notes? Don't think I understand.
Somebody has started a systematic campaign of persecution against Claire.
Well, why don't you go to the police?
Because I'm afraid of the publicity. Claire will look silly because the persecution is seemingly directed by Peter Truro.
Well, she can't be serious. How could Peter...
That's what everyone's reaction is, because I can't explain the notes.
That's the second time you've mentioned notes.
They're vicious, handwritten little jottings, all reminding her of some silly vows that she had made with Truro before they were married. They threaten her life. They're all signed by Peter Truro.
Well, it's impossible.
That's what I said. Claire insists that the handwriting is Peter's. It's been checked by 3 handwriting experts. All 3 say Claire's right. The handwriting is Peter's.
Well, that still doesn't explain what brings you here to see me.
I told you, Claire sensed there's a connection. She told me she came to see you.
Yes, she did.
And she told me you behaved rather strangely.
Look, I know you're worried about Claire, so I'm giving you a lot of latitude, but you're really beginning to annoy me, Linville.
I'm just trying to find out why you got so angry with her when she was only talking about her dreams.
She came here, I thought, to ask my forgiveness for the raw deal she gave me in Cries of Dissent. A deal which you were part of. Now, why should I sympathize with Claire and her problems? We were never that close before Peter died. And as far as you're concerned...
Can you forget that I replaced you?
You don't have a right to ask me to forget.
Oh, yes, I have. And I'm going to get some answers, or the cops are going to get some information. Even if it means bad publicity.
The cops?
Claire and I went to a medium. We showed her the notes. We told her all we knew. She held a seance, and she came up with your name.
That's what you're going to tell the cops?
That, and the fact that you're mad because I replaced you in Cries of Dissent.
You've had this coming, and now you're going to get...
I'll
kill you, so help me, or I'll kill you.
So, Jason... We made quite a spectacle of ourselves with Edward Linville, didn't we?
How did that medium get my name?
She must have been extraordinarily perceptive.
You know that it was a she. You're in on this.
Oh, really, Jason? You're becoming paranoid. Since I'm obviously depending on you to kill Claire for me, it would be extraordinarily stupid for me to have you suspected even before the crime.
Nobody is going to be suspected because there isn't going to be any crime.
Oh, your adrenaline's still working overtime because of that scrap with Linville. When you calm down, you'll realize what a fool you're making of yourself.
No need to remind me. I realized that the minute Linville said he'd been given my name.
What story can Linville take to the police?
He can accuse me of writing poison pen letters to Claire.
He can? On what evidence? The word of a medium? According to Linville himself, Claire had the notes checked with a handwriting expert who swore that the handwriting was mine. Now, how does that point to you?
Why can't you leave me alone?
Oh, come, Jason. You were having a ball with the notes and watching the effect they had on Claire.
All right, I'll admit that, but writing nasty little notes is a lot different than killing.
Well, of course it is. And you want me to guarantee that no one will ever connect you with the killing. That's what you really want, isn't it, Jason?
Look, you're too smug for me to argue with. There's no point in any further discussion, so...
Now, hold on a minute, Jason, hold on. I want to tell you how I can guarantee your being in the clear.
Like promising me you won't give the police my name.
I offer you complete safety.
How?
A suicide note.
Suicide?
Exactly. Claire will commit suicide. Take an overdose of sleeping pills and leave a completely authentic suicide note to prove it.
You mean you're really going to drive Claire to suicide?
Don't you think Claire is the suicidal type?
No.
I agree. That's why we must have the note. Do you want to write it now?
Are you out of your mind?
Just write what I dictate.
No way.
We are going to say that she just couldn't stand the idea of betraying me and breaking her solemn marriage vow.
Now, you're not going to mention me, are you?
Well, of course not.
Somebody will remember that the earlier notes dealt with me and Linville.
That's why we'll just stick with her guilt about betraying me. You see how careful I'm being about involving you?
Yes, but you want me to write the note.
You must. I guarantee the handwriting experts will all swear the handwriting is genuine. In addition, it will be on her special stationery, of course.
Mm-hmm. And how are you going to arrange that?
You are. You are going to be invited to a party. A bash that Claire will be giving next week. While you're there, I'll arrange to show you the room where Claire keeps her stationery and the desk.
Oh, forget it. Haven't you ever heard of fingerprints? Mine will be all over the place.
Pick it up, Jason. That's Claire calling with your invitation. Congratulations, Jason. You accepted Claire's invitation with just the right amount of reluctance.
How did you know that Claire would call?
Oh, you must grant me certain ghostly secrets of the trade. It should reassure you about our chances of pulling off a successful murder.
I thought you said suicide.
Yes, I did, but to be quite accurate, I should have said apparent suicide. We both agreed that Claire wasn't the suicidal type.
Then what was all that talk about sleeping pills in a suicide note? Just talk?
By no means.
Well, she's not going to take an overdose of her own free will.
That is where you come in, Jason. You'll have to see to it that she takes them. We'll work that out somehow.
The devil we will. This is where I get off, Peter. I'm finishing with you once and for all, even if I have to smash the set.
We're past that, Jason, old boy.
What? Wait a minute. The set's off. I hear you. Why can't I see you?
Of course the set is off, Jason. But now we have such a close relationship that I don't have to depend on a mechanical device to communicate with you. From now on, Jason, I'm your friend and faithful companion.
Who was it who first said, with a friend like that, who needs enemies? Oh, well, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that a ghostly voice has taken control of Jason Phillips. All of us are driven sometimes by forces we don't clearly see or understand. But how many of you have ever obeyed the commands of a ghost? And what happened when you did? Don't answer that.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom's spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
There's a long stretch of open road before you. You're at the controls of a Buick Century, a really fine mid-size car. Comfort abounds. A sophisticated suspension system is smoothing the way. An underhood, a frugal V6 engine economically goes about its business. You're happy, you're free, and you're in a Buick.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all.
Hi, dear. I'm home.
Will the defendant please rise?
Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry I'm a little late, but...
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
I worked late, and the traffic was heavy, and I stopped for a drink at Rocky's.
The accused is charged with breach of promise and willful negligence.
Okay, so it's 7:15, but you have to make a big federal case out of it.
The defendant is found guilty as charged.
Close the court at your house. Cancel the trials. Stop appointing each other as both judge and jury. Hear where the other is and work through the hassles together. And forgive a little, as God forgives a lot. A nudge toward respecting others from the Mennonite churches.
People who hear voices either tell no one or lay themselves open to all sorts of risks, not the least of which is ending up on a couch. Actor Jason Phillips has been hearing the same voice for weeks, a voice of a Broadway producer who keeps urging Jason to kill the producer's actress wife. Jason is now disturbed enough to seek help from a distinguished and brilliant psychiatrist.
The whole purpose of our talks, Jason, depends on your deciding what is important. Now, obviously, your losing the part in Cries of Dissent was a real shock to you.
Well, it would be to anybody.
Of course, but what about Claire Truro? What was your relationship with her before that?
It was friendly, casual. I mean, after all, she was Peter's wife, and he made no bones about how he felt about her.
Were you attracted to her?
She's a very good-looking woman.
That's not what I asked.
Oh, I guess maybe, but nothing earth-shaking.
And how did she feel about you?
I don't know. I mean,
I think it might be wise if you could recreate the day she told you she was replacing you in Cries of Dissent.
Well, I don't know if I can remember all of it. I came to the theater that day about the same time as usual. Rehearsal was scheduled for 11. I got there about 10:50. I was sitting in my dressing room when I heard a knock on the door. Come in.
I'm glad you're early, Jason. There's something I want to talk to you about.
Fine. Well, I need the script.
No. Jason, darling, this isn't going to be very pleasant.
Well, the last few weeks haven't been very pleasant.
This is something I know is going to hurt you, and I wish... How I wish...
You're not making sense.
I've never done this before. I've never fired an actor before.
Fired an act? You mean I'm out of the play?
I'm afraid so.
But why? Why? You know I'm good in the part. You know what the part means to me. Why would...
I think you're beginning to understand. Believe me, Jason, I...
Does Linville mean that much to you?
Well, you knew I...
I knew you were seeing a lot of him, but I didn't think that... Well, isn't this very sudden? Peter's only been dead a few days.
Edward Linville and I... Well, we go back a long way.
Claire, I don't want to hear any stories of old love affairs. It's not going to make me feel any differently about... The kind of deal you're giving me.
I don't suppose I could expect you to feel any other way.
Come off it, Claire. You cut my heart out and you want to be forgiven?
You'll get your full salary for the run of the
day. I don't need it. I'll take my 2 weeks' notice.
I'll be in touch with your agent. Goodbye, Jay.
And that's about the way it was, Doctor.
Oh, a traumatic experience. It has left a deep scar.
Well, I knew that before I came to you. Now, help me.
Well, the help must come from within you.
You don't believe in this ghost of mine.
Do you?
We keep going around in circles, Doctor.
Not quite. The first day you came to me, you wanted to know whether or not you could actually hear a voice and be perfectly sane. You remember I gave you an answer.
Yes, you said it was possible.
And then?
Then I told you the voice I heard belonged to a dead man and asked if you believed in ghosts.
And do you remember my answer?
Yes, you said, for some people, ghosts are a way of life.
That's right. Doesn't that apply to you?
No, and I don't know anyone it does apply to. Doctor, if you're trying to confuse me, you're doing a great job.
I'm trying to lead you to a conclusion.
You'd only kill someone who did you harm?
Does that seem so strange?
Someone like Claire Truro?
Well, there you go again, Doctor, trying to prove something.
Prove what?
That I'd really like to kill Claire.
Wouldn't you?
Yes. Yes, I would. I'd like to get my hands around her throat. Yes, I want to kill her.
What in the world have you done, Jason?
Made a purchase, Peter. A mannequin. Don't you recognize her?
Should I?
Well, she's a lady very close to your heart.
To me, she just looks like any other window dummy they use in dress shops.
Ah, but this one is different, Peter. Don't you recognize your beloved wife, Claire?
What kind of foolishness is this?
Expensive, made-to-order therapy for a man who talks to ghosts. A ghost who wants him to kill his wife. Now, I prop Claire up here in the corner of this couch, and I hit her. And I hit her again, and again, and again.
You feel better?
Much better, Peter. You see, I'm willing to admit to you now that I am aggressive towards Claire, and I would like to see her dead.
That is progress.
That's what my doctor says. Now that I've admitted the terrible thought and acknowledge it, I can get rid of my aggression.
By hitting that department store dummy on the head?
You go ahead and laugh. But it's going to work.
Jason, over here.
Oh, great party, Claire.
Thank you, Jason. I want you and Edward to shake hands right here now.
Of course.
Go on, Edward. Go on, shake hands.
Well, I think I made a fool of myself, Jason.
Well, you don't have a monopoly on foolishness. I kind of lost my head, too.
Well, it's all over now. And even though Edward said I shouldn't, I have to ask a favor, Jason.
Go right ahead.
Well, you know that little church around the corner from your apartment?
You mean St. Anthony's?
Mm-hmm, that's it. They have a theatrical about this time every year, and I've known Father Kinsolving for years and years, and... Well, I always donate some costumes. I was wondering if you'd be kind enough to drop them off for me.
No trouble at all. I'd be happy to.
You see, Edward, what you called my silly brainstorm turned out to be not such a bad idea at all.
Welcome home, Jason. Did you enjoy the party?
Matter of fact, I had a ball.
I see you have the clothes with which you can dress that ridiculous dummy, so it looks even more like Claire.
These are costumes that I have to give to St. Anthony's.
Well, try one of them on the dummy. You'll find it will make your therapy more effective. Go on. I like that blue dress.
Wait a minute. Did you have anything to do with this?
Of course I put the idea into Claire's head of asking you to deliver the costumes. I think it's going to please me to see a more lifelike Claire in your living room and give you a good deal more of satisfaction.
All right, Doctor, I'll admit I do feel better. But all that pummeling and smashing at the model of Claire hasn't stopped me from hearing Peter's voice.
Do you also see him?
Only when I turn on the TV. I don't bother with that anymore. But I am still confused. You and I have these long conversations and...
You were about to say.
Well, I don't know. There are too many things that can't be explained away because of my aggressiveness. Those notes and the fact that they were judged to be in Peter's handwriting.
Which you've often seen enough on checks and letters.
I'm not that good a forger.
All right, Jason. What is the alternative?
I don't understand.
We've come a long way since you first came here. Let's assume that you didn't forge the notes. You know who wrote them, but someone else dictated them. And the same person guided your hand. Now, who could that person possibly be?
I've been telling you, the ghost of Peter Truro.
And this same ghost influenced his wife to give you costumes to deliver to a church or a theatrical.
He says he did.
This, then, is the alternative you must face. That there is a ghost. That he is the ghost of Peter Truro. And that he is haunting you.
And that I believe in that ghost?
Don't you?
I'm afraid I don't have any choice. Who is it?
Alida.
Oh, come in. Thank you for coming so soon after I called.
I'd never forgive myself if I hadn't. Who's that?
It's just a dummy dressed in Claire's clothes.
You must get rid of it.
Well, I will, but I asked you to visit with me.
Get rid of it now.
What do you want me to do, throw it out the window?
It doesn't matter. Don't you realize how dangerous it is for you to have her here?
Oh, come on, Alita. It was my doctor's idea. He said I could use the dummy to take out my aggressions.
Indeed. And where did you get the clothes?
Claire gave them to me.
Does she know how you're using them?
She gave me a lot of stuff to give to a church theatrical. I kept this one dress out.
Are you so friendly that she would ask you to do her a favor like that?
Look, I'm afraid I've gone as far as I can with the doctor. He feels that it's all my subconscious. My urge to kill Claire that accounts for everything.
Your wish to kill Claire does not mean there are no ghosts. There is evil all around you. Either you or Claire must leave New York.
I don't see how running away will get rid of Peter.
I'm not so much concerned now with your getting rid of Peter as I am with saving your life.
You really mean that, don't you? You're really frightened.
There was only one other time in my life when I've been this frightened.
When was that?
No. No. Now, Jason, please come away with me. Come back with me to Clarkstown until...
Until?
Until the restless thirst for revenge has left the ghost of Peter Truro.
You were sensational tonight, Claire, my love.
Thank you, Edward.
Shall we eat something before we go home?
No. I'll meet you at the house. I have to go someplace first.
Oh, very mysterious.
Well, it's important.
You care to tell me?
I'm afraid you disapprove.
Well, if it's what I think it is, I certainly will do more than disapprove.
Oh, be a darling and don't ask any questions. I'll tell you all about it when I get home.
Now, Claire, I'm not
going...
I have
to get this makeup off, and I...
You're not going.
Now, don't be silly, Edward. You don't even know where I'm going.
Stop treating me like a child, Claire. It's obvious that you're taking that last note seriously.
I want these notes to end. I want this whole situation to end. Can you promise me that you can stop it, Edward?
No, but...
But this last note says I'll have all the answers if I go alone... to Jason's apartment.
And you believe that?
It also
that?
Says I'll find the door open. I'm going there. And if the door's open, I'll go in.
But Claire,
you know where I'll be. And if I'm not home in an hour, you can come after me. Call the police or do anything you want.
Darn, I just remembered something, Alita.
What?
I left something important in the apartment.
Oh, but Jason, our bus leaves in half an hour. You promised to go home with me.
There's plenty of time. My apartment's only a short distance. I'll grab a cab, be back in plenty of time. Meet you at gate number 5.
You're doing the right thing, Jason. I promise a stunning surprise awaits you in your apartment. And after tonight, it will be all over.
Cab!
You'll like what I've done with the mannequin, Jason. That's a promise.
The door is open. That part of the note is right. Jason? Jason, are you home? Oh, darn. Oh, where are the lights? Oh! Oh, it's this. Jason, you're not playing some silly game, are you? Oh, a dummy. Some kind of store figure. Jason, whatever you're up to, get this thing away from me. It's just where a dummy belongs, on the floor. Jason, I'm too old to be afraid of the dark. I'll just sit and wait for you. And if you don't come soon, Edward will be here. I'm warning you. Not mentioning Edward would do it. Switch on the light, Jason.
Oh, Peter. This is what your surprise is. You've made the mannequin talk. Marvelous, Peter.
Who are you talking to, Jason? Please turn on the light.
Thank you, Peter. This is really wonderful.
Jason! Are you mad?
True. Feels like real flesh. My hands are closing around real flesh. I don't know how you did it, Peter.
Jason, you're killing me. Jason,
that finishes you once and for all.
really clear.
Of course, Jason. I've kept my promise and you've done the job. Now you're rid of me forever. Goodbye, Jason.
Claire. Claire, I've really killed you. No. No. Oh, no!
Well, that's one way to rid yourself of a ghost. Jason Phillips was no longer haunted. However, I certainly don't recommend it as a general rule. I do recommend, however, a more generous suspension of disbelief when someone tells you he's seen a ghost or is hearing voices he can't explain.
Cigarette?
No need for that. I'm ready.
Blindfold?
Dash it, man. Let's get it over with.
As you wish.
Ready!
Henry, wake up.
Huh?
You're dreaming again. Your tax audit?
Yeah, today's the day.
But you got all your records together.
Yes, I do. Well, aren't you coming?
You don't need me. You're ready.
Can I help you, sir?
Well,
you're here for an audit. Won't you have a seat?
Thank you.
Well, now, let's see.
If you have good records of your income and receipts for your deductions, an audit of your federal income tax return can be easier than you think.
How did it go, Henry?
No problem. Nothing I couldn't handle.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
Voices. Voices we hear only inside our own heads. Sometimes we identify them as voices of conscience, and everyone accepts the fact that we hear those. But ghostly voices, the voices of the dead, how real are they? Just as real as our imagination allows them to be. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Ralph Bell, Evie Juster, and Bob Caliban. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Let's cut your worries. I have them both, Senator. Jake against his will, as you can imagine. Your daughter, that's another story.
What do you want, Tedesco?
I want back to America. My skirt's clean. That income tax evasion judgment reversed. I want to be a free citizen, and you can do it.
And if I can't?
I'll send you your friend Jake piece by piece. I'll marry your daughter and make sure you couldn't be elected dog catcher.
I need time. How do I get in touch with you?
I'll call here tomorrow and the day after, same time. If you're not there 48 hours from now... Well, I sent you Jake's finger because I wanted to be sure you understood we weren't playing any games. I'd hate to get into the same sort of thing with your daughter. But I have too much at stake to have any scruples.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Mystery Theater again tomorrow night, same time, same station. Now stay tuned for the news next.
We love so no one hears us but the sky. The vows of love we make will live until we die. My life is yours.
beautiful music. This is KIXI AM 91, Seattle.
11 o'clock.
CBS News, a fire in a nursing home in the English Midlands has left at least 19 people dead. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A flash fire struck a home for the elderly near Nottingham, England, and at least 19 residents are reported dead. The fire was in the Fairfield Old People's Home. About 50 residents were rescued. Authorities said 15 people, including a fireman and a policeman, were hurt. Many of the victims were bedridden and unable to escape on their own. Cause of the fire has not been determined. About 3,000 pro-busing demonstrators marched Saturday in Boston. The demonstration at one point was marred by violence as the marchers tried to push through a police barricade to walk through an area police had not authorized. 6 people were arrested, and there was 1 injury in the scuffling. On Sunday, people opposed to the busing in Boston are scheduled to demonstrate. More news in a moment.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to think about some Dubonnet. To drink before a meal by day or night. It helps to whet your appetite. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. And whether you call it an apéritif or an appetizer, the proper time to drink it is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's the wine you drink to whet your appetite. Dubonnet Before, made to make what comes after that much better.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Federal officials say a small plane hijacked Saturday night at an airport in Tampa, Florida, has landed in Cuba. Witnesses said a man with a gun walked into the airport at Tampa and pulled a gun on a pilot, ordering him to take him to Cuba. The plane took off with the gunman and pilot aboard. A short time later, the pilot radioed he was going to Cuba. The presidents of the United States and France are on the Caribbean island of Martinique, where they'll begin their summit talk Sunday morning. Both countries confirm a compromise is in the works to end the disagreement between Paris and Washington over a common Western stand toward the oil-producing nations. More on the Martinique summit from Robert Pierpoint.
President Ford had helicoptered from the airfield when he was welcomed by President Giscard to his hotel, overlooking the bay and the city of Fort de France. After half an hour in his suite on the 7th floor, the president suddenly reappeared in a bathing suit and headed for the pool. This hotel is closed to all but the official parties, but 3 others beat him into the water. Treasury Secretary Simon and White House aides Robert Hartman and Terrence O'Donnell. The president swam for about 15 minutes, 5 or 6 laps, then headed back to his room to get ready for a dinner party being given by President Giscard. Meantime, official sources here have now confirmed that former Attorney General Elliot Richardson, who was forced out of office by President Nixon, will be the new U.S. ambassador to London. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Martinique.
The mother of fugitive heiress Patricia Hearst has issued a plea to her daughter to return home for the Christmas holidays. Mrs. Catherine Hearst, in a letter published on the front page of the San Francisco Examiner, told her daughter she is in agony and cannot bear the possibility of spending Christmas without her. Mrs. Hearst also said she and her husband plan to move out of their Hillsboro, California mansion, saying they find it too painful to continue living there with so many memories of Patricia. Ms. Hearst was kidnapped 10 months ago and later announced she had willingly joined her abductors. Senator Herman Talmadge of Georgia says the Federal Power Commission is threatening the nation's food supply by cutting natural gas deliveries to fertilizer manufacturers. Talmadge, the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, says the commission is trying to pressure Congress into decontrolling natural gas prices. He says a fertilizer shortage could result in a 30% reduction in the 1975 harvest. In Beirut, the Arab guerrilla news agency says the PLO is claiming responsibility for Saturday's clash near the Israeli-Lebanese frontier. It left 4 Arabs and 1 Israeli dead. Now this.
Which would you rather forego? The low prices only a chain store can offer, or the friendly service of an independent dealer? Why settle for one or the other? Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that you get the benefits of both at True Value Hardware Stores. You see, True Value Hardware Stores are independently owned by a local man, usually a neighbor of yours. He's the kind of friendly guy you get to know by his first name, the kind of handy guy you look to for do-it-yourself advice, and he has his own money invested in the business. So believe me, you'll never write the chairman of some board to get satisfaction. At the same time, each independent True Value dealer is a part of a chain of over 4,700 hardware stores whose combined buying power amounts to $1 billion. So True Value hardware stores buy their merchandise for less, can sell it to you for less. Chain store prices, independent dealer service. Get the best of both worlds at True Value hardware stores.
A snowstorm hit the Upper Plains states Saturday, leaving as much as 8 inches in Nebraska. Parts of Kansas got around 3 inches, and a winter storm watch has been posted for Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Northeast Illinois, and Wisconsin. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS in Seattle, KIXI. The weather forecast for Seattle, Tacoma, Everdon vicinity, mostly cloudy. Occasional rain likely Sunday through Monday. Lows near 40, highs near 50. Mostly southerly winds, 10 to 20 miles per hour, except higher gusts late Sunday. 45 degrees downtown, 42 at SeaTac.